Welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and today I'm pleased to have as my guest Dr. Meg Lossley, who is the author of The Children of Now, Evolution, How We Can Support the Fast-Forward Evolution of Our Children and All of Humanity. Meg is the author of the international bestseller, The Children of Now, and she has been working with different children that are coming forth that are helping with our spiritual evolution, and also observations about how these children can be damaged by GMOs, vaccines, and other environmental things that may not agree with their energy fields, and what parents can do to protect them. And she is the creator of the Touching the Light healing modality, and we'll be talking about that later on as well. Thanks, Meg, for joining us.
I'm thrilled to be on. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone.
So would you like to tell a little bit of the story of how you became familiar with the children coming forth and what led you to write your first book, The Children of Now?
Thanks. Yeah, it was kind of multifaceted. My granddaughter was born in 98, and she was amazingly gifted in a number of ways. She could telepath. She could move energy like a master. I mean, she could see on the other side. She talked about the angels in the room all the time at like a year and a half. And so she was my first introduction. But along with that, in my healing practices, I had two at the time in different states, and I started seeing trends in kids. People were bringing their children thinking they were broken, but there was nothing wrong with them. They were just differently abled. And I kept telling them, you know, your child's not broken. They're just differently abled. They're okay. And most of them were brilliant. And that went on for a while. And then I was sitting at my desk one day, and I got an email from a conference that I did every year, and they said, what are you going to talk about this year? And I heard speak of the children, and I'm a real spiritual smart aleck, you know. I said, yeah, right, like I'm an expert on kids. No way. Speak of the children, I hear. And I said some more stuff, and then I heard it a third time. Well, three times for me, no matter what I think, I do it because I know it's true. And so I wrote a quick, Dr. Meg will talk about the children now, blah, 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 and left it at that. So I got up that morning to give my talk, and I couldn't stand up straight. And I told my husband I was trying to iron my jacket, but I was leaning over. I said, something funky's going on. I don't know what it is, but I said, my ears feel okay, I feel okay, you know, all the physical stuff. And so finally, I kind of just tuned in and checked my field, and there was this beautiful teal-colored orb stuck right about shoulder level in my energy field. By the end of the day, I'll make the story short, there were four of them, and I could hardly stand up. I'm serious. I'm that sensitive, and that was a lot of weight in my field on one side. And so I went from there. The talk was amazing. My 2 hours went into 3 hours in the hallway. And then I had to go to Sedona, and I got there and went into a restaurant kind of off hours. And I was the only one there, and I called a friend of mine who I was writing a screenplay with. He said, how'd your talk go? And I said, oh, my God, you wouldn't believe the interest. I said, I had no idea. Yeah, I was really humbled by it. And he says, why don't we write your kids in our screenplay? And then I heard giggling. And I'm like, oh, my God, I said, Michael, something's happening. I said, I'm hearing little kids laughing in my head. And long story short, over a period of weeks, they kept talking to me more and more and more telepathically. And as they did, their messages were profound. They were amazing. I mean, they were cosmic. They were like masterful, the messages. but they were driving me crazy. And I finally said, hey, guys, when I get home, I'm going to sit down at my computer and I'm going to write down everything you're saying. But right now, I have to think because I'm
right.
working.
I'm working. I need my mind back.
And I need my own thoughts right now because it's really important to get these messages across. So I get home and I start to write. And I thought, wait a minute, what if I'm imagining all this? You know, what if I've lost it? I tend to go to the metaphysical because my world's really weird, and I get stuff like that. Not like that, but I get a lot of weird stuff. I have some really powerful talents, I guess. And so I thought, kids, if you're for real, you know, start showing up because I need some validation. I never put anything anywhere in public unless I have been able to somehow validate it. Mm-hmm. And one after the other, they started showing up in real little bodies. And these particular four were unable to speak because of different disabilities. And that was my introduction to the power of these kids. Mm-hmm. And from there, I wrote The Children of Now. And it's now in over 30 languages across the planet. I don't even know anymore. And I give them all the credit for that. All I did was write it.
I saw some interesting statistics on autism recently, and autism is projected soon to be one in 250 children. And if you take a look at the vaccine numbers that the children are getting early in life, it's just ridiculous. And the, you know, the there's a huge amount of evidence that we should not be giving children this number of vaccines in a short period of time, especially these very, very sensitive children who may or may not have the ability to process these chemicals that are in the vaccines, either aluminum, mercury, or whatever.
Exactly.
Mercury might have been taken out, but aluminum was put back in. And
some aerosol.
This disrupts the field, and you have some interesting diagrams in your book about that. But when the field is disrupted in children who are developing, then development's disrupted.
Exactly.
And, it's really a shame that we probably the answers to our problems on this planet with pollution and, you know, just wrecking the environment and all of the problems that we've created that really require these children to grow up and solve. See, I believe that the answers are coming in through the children.
Oh, yeah.
They have to be because we don't have the answers. We just, I mean, our generation just created the problems. Are being destroyed.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting, I read a recently directly from the CDC, one out of every 50 children is being diagnosed with autism. And out of out of those 50, 80% are male. And
oh, my God.
Yeah, it's really bad. And, it, you know, it's not the vaccines themselves that are hurting the children. It's the carriers, like you mentioned, the mercury, the aluminum, and the aerosol. And could I back up just a minute and explain why this is? Because then I can explain more easily what's going on. We're actually in a fast-forward evolution of humanity. We, you and me, people like us, we're the bridge generation. We stepped up and stepped into what we didn't understand about ourselves, our intuitive nature, our abilities to get into states of higher consciousness, natural healing abilities, different things like that. And enough of us did that we passed critical mass, and we made it. We set the stage for these children to come in absolutely intact with all of the above, and. With that, their frequency levels are higher. They are actually less dense than we are. They are more light than we are. And energetically, their harmonics are much higher than ours. each of us is put together by with a set of harmonics that is unique in all of creation. There can't be any two alike. One will cancel the other. And when it does, the DNA dies, and so does the clone. And that's a scientific fact. Well, the children's harmonics are very, very fine. They're much higher notes, if you would. Their symphony is absolutely cosmic in frequencies. So you take a very sensitive child like that, who is also, by the way, sentient, meaning they don't just use their five senses, they use their entire bodies for, they glean information by absorbing it, not just what they hear, not just what they see, that kind of thing. And it organizes in their minds in different ways than ours does. Ours works in a linear format, A plus B plus C. The children's information plugs in fractals, which are just little teeny pieces of information, and they're all stored in an organization in compartments in their minds, and ultimately they get a whole picture once they've absorbed enough information. So you take a high-frequency child like this who's absolutely sentient, who is already feeling everything and everyone around them and doesn't even realize that it's not all theirs, and you put an injection in them, a jab, they call it in the UK, I love that, in these children, and consciousness is in every cell. It's exactly what animates us. It's what makes us alive and who we are. And you put one of these, you put a vaccine in a child that has one of these materials we've been talking about, particularly mercury, it was really bad. And it expands the electromagnetic energy away from the body in varying formats. It could be just off to the side. It could be, you know, it could actually create a gap between consciousness and physical. That's a real affected child. And everything in between, and those are the illustrations you were talking about. I can actually see this, so I wanted people to understand why we have such a wide spectrum. Asperger's did the complete opposite. Those children go to total mental. Mm-hmm. Their consciousness is altered in a way that they are totally relying on their brains. They don't even understand facial expressions, emotional reactions. They're oblivious. So they're both related. The things that are bad about vaccines, because vaccines are really good. We've eradicated a lot of really bad illnesses in our world, but a lot of people don't know what to do, so they don't vaccinate their children at all. And we've seen recent outbreaks of measles and mumps just in the past couple of months. And we're starting to see social signs that, wait a minute, we've got a problem here. We've got a real dichotomy starting. And
But you have to, honestly, measles and mumps in children at least mm-hmm. are fairly benign diseases.
Yeah, but
and
measles
it's very different than smallpox, polio.
Exactly.
I'm gonna call out right now. I do not think we need massive vaccinations on non-fatal diseases.
I don't either.
Until we perfect the vaccines so they're not poisonous to a portion of our population.
Well, thank you. That's exactly where I was going.
Yeah.
You know, the vaccine part is okay. It's the carriers that are the issue from what
right.
I came to understand. The carriers
and also adjuvants. There are adjuvants that are added. Silicone is an adjuvant. There's adjuvants that are added to make the body respond against the portion of the virus or the bacteria that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And adjuvants in certain people will make them prone to autoimmune disease. So there's that aspect of vaccines too.
Yeah, it's a whole mix that we
yeah.
don't need to happen. And we've got to get the pharmaceutical companies to stop doing this. And the only way we can do that is create a social awareness. You know, like we're doing
Well, they
today.
Have to be able to be compensated for creating a safer vaccine. And right now, because there's this moratorium against being able to sue a company for a bad vaccine or a, you know, adverse reaction to a vaccine, they're not motivated to do so.
Yeah. And what makes me really sad is I've been physically present with a number of children who have been perfectly normal. I was even at some of their births, and they get their vaccines, and they hit the dirt, and they're never the same again.
And I want to mention for people who are listening that if you have a child that is sensitive, don't give all the vaccines at once. Spread them out and refuse the ones that are non-fatal. And then if there is a reaction, use things like cod liver oil and other things that are known to help rescue these children. There are rescues to this once they start to have the high fever. And the other thing is you can actually spend about $125 on a enzyme detection. If the child does not have the enzyme, then don't give vaccines, because this particular enzyme is critical at breaking down, I think it is thimerosal, and without it, the frontal lobes can actually swell, and if the fontanelles are partially fused, then autism will result. I mean, they know a lot about the mechanism of this, even to the point of knowing which enzyme to test. There's a huge amount of information out there, scientific information, that pediatricians just simply ignore.
Yeah, I'd be interested in having some of that information just to be
able
to...
Well, I can give you the book. Stephanie Marone, she wrote a mental health series, and she wrote, one of the books is on autism, and that information is in her book. So you can read it there with all the references.
How do you spell her name, her last name?
Marone is M-A-R-O-H-N, I think. She's also the editor of The Goddess Shift and Optimism. And,
thank you.
Conscious Aging, Audacious Aging, three books that are compilation works of about 40 authors. But
thank
she herself
so
has an entire series on... She's a medical writer, but she writes from a very scientific perspective and a very spiritual perspective. But, like, she has a book on, you know, obsessive-compulsive, on schizophrenia, on depression, and, you know, just all the mental health things, including autism.
That's wonderful.
Which isn't really mental health, but, you know, it affects
mental. Yes, it
is.
Mental.
Well, yeah, I mean,
what
it's
I
part,
see
it's
every
physical,
day.
Too, though. It's physical. It's very physical.
Yeah.
It's everything. It does emotional, physical, mental, and probably spiritual too.
It's just unbelievable what we're doing is we're creating a generation, in one respect, out of the most highly intelligent and sensitive generation we've ever had, and we're destroying them out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm working so hard to advocate for them. We're starting to see social symptoms that are saying, well, we are really screwing up, you know, and we can talk about that a little later. But there are phone numbers that you can call, if I'm informed correctly, that you can check the batch number of the vaccine and find out what's in them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you aware of that?
No, I wasn't.
Okay. I published a number in the book that's been around for a little while, and you can call your doctor's office and ask for the vaccine batch number, and then call this 800 number and find out what's in it, if it's safe for your child or not. A lot of some of what was being done earlier has been stopped. Unfortunately, they sent those excess vaccines to third world countries, so it really didn't stop.
Just stopped here in the U.S.
it didn't, because we're still getting it. And so... autism, the part of the problem with this, aside from what the poor kids are going through, because they have such different behaviors and ritualistic behaviors and behavioral issues, and sometimes they just can't cope very well. They don't have the tools. But the other facet of that is the family often feels responsible, often feels helpless, isolated. And what I want the listeners to know is you are not alone. There are 1 in 50 kids right now being diagnosed. The numbers are running between 1 out of 50 and 1 in 80. But the CDC's latest numbers that I put out in the book was 1 out of 50. That's a lot.
That's very scary because it used to be much rarer.
Yeah, it used to be like 200 and something.
Right.
And
there's a movie called Broken. Have you seen Broken?
What's it about? I watch a lot
autism.
Of movies.
Autism?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it was actually Norm Shealy sent me the link to it. And it was free for a while. I mean, it's probably not very expensive anyway, but it was free and it was spread over social media. But Broken talks about basically autism, vaccines, GMO, everything, but it tells the stories, you know, up close and personal.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
We need, that's what we need. And that's why I wrote that book. I tell everybody, I put it in all my PR stuff. This is not just a new book. It's a wake-up call. And
yeah,
the reason I say that is what I'm seeing socially is unbelievable. And it could go one of two ways. You know, we could change it. And we can still change it. And it's just going to require us standing up and doing like what we're doing today. And also standing up for our children. We tend to believe authority because they say so. And they're the experts, and that's what we were taught. And what I want parents to hear loud and clear today is you have the right to say no or yes. You have the right to ask questions. And you have the right to do or don't do whatever you feel is comfortable for your child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really important because we tend to think that the authorities have the answers. And that's
actually,
how
the authorities are totally blind, as far as I can see.
Well, they're totally creating a lot of this.
They're blind to the evidence.
Yeah.
There's a huge amount of scientific evidence that they are deliberately ignoring. And it's because that they choose to support the, you know, the government and the pharmaceutical industry.
Exactly.
Which are not in the business of protecting the children.
Exactly.
Period. They're in the business of protecting the profits of the pharmaceutical industry. And it's really sad. It's the same thing with silicone implants. You know, they took them off the market, but then put them right back on 12 years later.
Yeah, my mother died as a result of those things.
Well, I wrote a book called The Naked Truth about breast implants. And, you know, it wasn't very popular with the powers that be. And, you know, I really don't care. You know, I mean, the scientific evidence is there.
Yeah, it is. I can speak closely to that myself.
Right.
From my mom, what my mom went through was absolute hell. And there's so many things going on medically that are irresponsible and destructive. And, you know, it's just not okay. That's how the GMOs got slid in. You know, first the vaccines got slid in with all of this toxic stuff in it. And right behind that comes the genetically modified foods that are causing almost epidemic rates of intense allergies in children, asthma, inflammation.
And adults.
Yeah, and adults. That's, you know, people joke about people in America being really obese. And the truth is, my take is, most of them are just very swollen because of their diets, you know,
Well, they actually have insulin resistance, which tends to put belly fat on. And belly fat kills you because, you know, it leads to the metabolic syndrome, which it ends up with high heart attack and stroke rates.
Exactly.
You know, but it's very much belly fat, metabolically active fat, that the children are getting now. That's why there's high rate of diabetes and type 2 diabetes in children. Children only used to have type 1 diabetes, which is probably viral, for the most part, destroying pancreatic islet cells. So, you know, that was something that, you know, was random. It wasn't genetic. It was kind of random. And now it's type 2 diabetes, which is probably from the diet.
No kidding. And, you know, these genetically modified foods, they when the gliadin, which is a sub component of gluten, breaks down, it plugs into the thyroid receptors. So the
thyroid's terribly off. Absolutely.
Yeah, so we've got a lot of off thyroids that are having to be treated. Autoimmune systems are, you know, there are so many parts to these children that are being injured in the name of health, which just sickens me. And I just...
It's mostly the name of profits, though, if you really follow the money.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying
it's really
what we get told.
Well, you know, it's if it's so healthy, why won't they label GMOs, huh?
Exactly.
They should be proud of it.
I'll tell you why.
You know,
it was really interesting.
They know what would happen.
Yeah, it was really interesting. Nobody would buy any groceries. We're growing our own at this point.
That's smart.
Yeah. I live in Washington State, and we're really liberal out here, which I like.
Yep.
And a referendum came up to demand labeling for genetically modified organisms. And they have so much money behind them, the pharmaceutical companies that are making this stuff. They sent so much propaganda, robocalls. I got 2-3 letters a day saying, don't let this happen. Don't let this happen.
Right.
There's no reason
Your
to
worry.
Your food
prices will go up. That's
yeah,
what they said. Your food prices will go up. And there's no evidence of that at all.
No. None at all. And as a result, and it happened in 3 or 4 states pretty much right around the same time, and every one of them were defeated. And it was because of the money
that
was behind
it. Vermont got it through. Vermont got it through, and now Connecticut passed a bill.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah. You need to watch that movie. That's all in that movie. It's really recent. And the Connecticut was the first, I think it was very recently, got the bill through the state legislature. And now I think 5 or 6 other states are introducing bills, because it's obvious that if it goes to a referendum like it did in California and Washington State, that the moneyed lobbyists against it will stop it. Or what I believe it's simply... you know, the voting machines can be manipulated.
Yeah, that,
and we know
that's
that
been proven.
Can happen. And I have a strong intuitive feeling, anyway, that the voting machines in California were manipulated.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
So
here,
so that's
our
not,
votes
that's
are
no
all...
way to get it through because of corruption. But the state legislature is totally different, because the states, evidently, Connecticut probably has a really highly educated population.
Yes.
You know, just in general. And I think Washington State does too.
Mm-hmm.
So the representatives of those districts are probably going to do what the people want, because they want to be reelected.
Exactly.
You know, that's the way to do it.
Here.
I mean, quit trying to do it through referendum. That's, you know, they've got that bought and paid for. And if that fails, they can possibly manipulate the voting machines. I do not trust the voting machines, by the way.
We don't use them here. All
well,
of
that's
our
a good
votes
idea.
Are done by hand.
Well,
and,
that's
and
smart.
And hand-signed.
That's very smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that was true in California.
No, it's not. But we don't trust.
I mean, I did not get intuitively that it was the voting machines in Washington State, just California.
Yeah, it was the propaganda.
Early on, when
I started talking about these kids, I was at a conference and a woman walked up to me. She says, "You know, I was a lobbyist for the government. I forget which hospice."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I used to lobby that, you know, that the vaccines were fine and all of that." She said, "But I saw the studies, and they know they're not, and I couldn't."
But they
do
still
it.
Lobby. You know, they're just unethical.
She walked
and,
away.
And you know, until the people really insist on transparency in government and actually following what the science shows, rather than, you know, believing the studies that are very, very poorly done in order to, you know, so that the pharmaceutical and and medical device companies can point to these really flawed studies and say, see, they're safe, you know,
exactly.
when they're really not safe. I mean, they create their own studies. And
I printed both sides in the book, and
I
knew that the government stuff was lies when I wrote it, but I want people to make their own choices. And I published 27 studies saying why the vaccines are not okay.
Because
it's interesting that it seems to hit at certain ages more prominently, 3 months and 18 months. And I found that
probably
kind of interesting.
3 months is probably because their immune systems are not able to handle it, and 18 months is probably the number of vaccines they get by that point, I think.
Yeah, there's, I think
too
it's
many.
Compounded.
I mean, you go over critical mass of number of vaccines that it can be handled.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
I know. It's sickening.
They need to stop the vaccine train, you know, that they're on. They're just adding too many vaccines.
Well, take it a step further, I think pharmaceutical commercials should be illegal. I think the pharmaceutical company is becoming a great part of our world and making people think that they're not okay if they don't take these drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that includes the
vaccine. Social anxiety disorder.
Yes. Well, you go and you turn on the TV. Every 5 minutes there's a drug commercial.
Yeah,
and
because you're not the most popular person in your group, you have social anxiety disorder.
Oh, my God. I
need a pill for it. It actually is. There's actually one of the, I don't know, one of the neurotransmitter-based things that they have said that it's for social anxiety disorder. I can't remember which one, but I think it's hilarious. The real hilarious thing, I went to a pain conference last weekend, and they have no clue what causes fibromyalgia, which is basically biotoxin disease, chemical toxin disease, or biotoxins from yeast or mold, you know, with sick building syndrome or yeast overgrowth, and or intracellular infection. That's all the causes, known causes of fibromyalgia. So they know nothing about that. And here they are teaching a room of 200 doctors that the cause of fibromyalgia is abnormal brain responses to stimuli, which I think is hilarious. That's a symptom, not a cause, number one.
No,
they
kidding.
Can't even differentiate causes from symptoms. And then they use all these neurotransmitter agents to treat it. And yet, it is true that with manipulation of neurotransmitters, you can decrease pain. I mean, of course you can. Look
sure.
at narcotics, okay? I mean, there's no doubt that some of these agents work to decrease the symptoms. Meanwhile, your intracellular infection, your mycoplasma, which, by the way, is the basis of our biological warfare system, so you will never see research in that. And the sick building syndrome, which is politically incorrect, because if mold biotoxins was a real disease, you would end up with the government and corporate America being responsible for a huge number of workman's comp liabilities,
mm-hmm.
as well as other liabilities with house sales.
Mm-hmm.
And so these can't be real diseases, because if they were, it would cost the powers that be and corporations way too much money.
Yeah,
I mean, wake up and smell the coffee. You know, that's
exactly.
Anyway, and all the doctors I know that were experts on mold no longer have their medical license. They were asked to give it up before it was taken, and all they did was publish studies. Of course, I don't publish anything because I know better.
Yeah,
I don't want a bullet in my head.
And that's really interesting that you would say that, because that's one of the greatest points that I make, that so-called modern medicine does not recognize that we have an etheric anatomy or even a subtle energy field. So a lot of what's happening is happening out of ignorance, and when, you know, this autism thing is, there are so many components to it, but energetically speaking, it's being done toxically. You know, it's being created by toxins. And we're having a lot of other social symptoms. For instance, our psychology has been outgrown by our technology. And so what we're seeing is children who are pretty much operating most of their day on social networking, on texting, playing video games that are so real that my opinion is that their psychology is being confused with dead is not, you know, that what is dead and what value do people really have, because your hero will stand up again and fight all over again. Mm-hmm. And so we're starting to see in teenagers who are very, very sensitive, there's some of these kids, and they internalize because they don't know how to talk about what they feel because they don't understand what they feel. Mm-hmm. And then they create these fantasy worlds inside, and then they act on them. And further, we're seeing this in police officers. How many shootings of innocent people have there been just in the last mm-hmm. few weeks?
Yeah.
It's in the news every day. These are social symptoms that we're going awry because we're not on it. You know, we're not on it. And what we need to do is make sure that with all of the other things that the kids need, especially some of them need more, that we get them to communicate really well and that we mm-hmm. get them to understand what's theirs and what's not. Because mm-hmm. what I have found is these little guys feel mommy's feelings, daddy's feelings, you know, everybody's around them, and the environment. And they don't know that they're not theirs. So they take responsibility for them. And then it starts wearing on their self-image. So I advocate teaching them how to tell a difference. I have a little exercise that's fun that I do with them. And that way they have an idea of, okay, this is an observation. Okay, this is mine. What do I do with it? Because mm-hmm. these little guys don't know. They're so sensitive. Or they bounce around, you know. They're very energetically sensitive. I'm one of those people, so I can really empathize with them. You put them in, for instance, a classroom that's cluttered, it's noisy, there's a lot of people in it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on, and just the environment is harsh, usually. And they're forced to sit there and be still and learn linearly, which they really don't need to do. And they are also picking up everything around them. So what do? They get up, they move around, they talk, they you know, and then they're ADD and ADHD. And the fact is that it's not them. It's how we're treating them. We're abusing them. And if anybody is listening and you're energetically sensitive, thank you, then you know that you tend to move around a lot. Like if you see Meg at a party, I'm going to talk to somebody for just a couple minutes, then I'm going to move, and I'm going to move a lot because mm-hmm. it builds up and it's uncomfortable. And so that moving around helps shake it off and helps them equalize. But yet they're being diagnosed with medical problems that do not exist. And nobody ever asked them at the end of the day, how was your day? What did you observe? How, you know, what happened in your day? And I do that with my grandkids. Every time I pick them up from school, I ask them, you know, different kinds of questions, not how did your math test go? I ask them questions that are about their observations, their feelings, their, you know, doing that helps a child recognize what's going on inside. And it helps them stay healthier. And so we've really got to get back to interpersonal relations. I know that the tech is convenient. I personally love my technology, or I wouldn't be able to do what I do the way I do it. But when children are in a formative age, that is also contributing to their psychology. And right now, the technology is ahead of it. So we've got to have some boundaries here. Because the social symptoms we're seeing are terrifying me, and I'm sure they are you. When you put it in that context, you know, it's just like it's just going across the board, and it could get out of hand really easily. I mean, you get people that start grouping together, or you know, just like that group of kids that decided to go out and kill somebody for fun that night. And shot and killed that.
They obviously have no sense of what it means to kill someone
in
real life. You know, it's not going to be fun. You're probably going to get caught because you don't know how to do it correctly. Not to get caught. It's very complicated, and then the rest of your life is destroyed.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. It's just.
Their they're not living in reality.
No, they're not at all. And that's why I say it, the technologies have outgrown the psychologies. And to me, that's a really big deal because it appears to be escalating. You know, when I was writing the book, you know, they come out a year later. So when I was writing the book, I started researching just, you know, what kind of events have there been? How many have there been? And there were so many that I found on, you know, real events. I was sick. I was just sick. And I thought, I cannot put all these in this book, but I can put, you know, I can include some of the more recent and more heinous ones to get my point across. And so that's why that chapter's in there. I really wanted people to understand that those video games and some of the other things that we're giving them because it's convenient for us are changing how their minds work. Our minds rewire themselves based on a lot of factors, and they learn to work differently, and they learn to express themselves differently. And I believe what we're looking at is exactly that.
Yeah, there also needs to be more, maybe based on a form of testing so that you could identify the children, and it's probably only, you know, about 20% of, you know, but it'll be more in the future. But you could probably identify the children with these expanded fields and gifts that are more multidimensional, and either have extracurricular activities for them in public schools or even, you know, advanced placement classes. I know I went to public school, but we had these advanced placement classes that were much different than the regular classes because the needs were different in
but that carried a stigma.
Yeah.
If you're on the other end of it.
Right. But it seems to me that even in the extracurricular activities in school, you could have a class where a teacher with a special interest in this could help these children develop basic skills like, you know, determining what's their feelings, what other feelings, you know, introduce them to their gifts because, you know, their parents may not be aware that they have these telepathic and psychokinesis abilities.
Well, we're on the same page here. I have a really good friend that just got a PhD in education, and I forget the exact title. And I called her and I said, we need to figure out how to evaluate these kids as they're incoming to the system so that we can make sure to get them what they need. And I think that we need to put a group together that is aware and with really good intentions to find a way to do this, you know, the criteria for evaluating these kids without putting any stigma or scary parts to the parents, you know. And the other piece of that is the school systems are operating on a curriculum that's over 100 years old.
Right. Yeah, it is.
Imagine the world 100 years
old.
Well,
you know, the school system hasn't been, the money is not kept up. You've got to give schools enough money to attract the teachers and attract the right textbooks and the right tools.
Yes.
I mean, we should be educating everybody by computer now. I mean, obviously, rather than textbooks, but that's not happening because of expense. So, you know, you got to solve the money problem. And that's
it's just about redistributing what's there. There's a lot being distributed in areas that only benefit a few people.
Exactly.
But who's talking?
Yeah. But, no, we do. I mean, we do need to pay attention, like you said, to even at a young age, teaching these children not to feel responsible for every feeling that they have because some of them aren't their feelings, like you said.
That's one of the biggest problems.
Yeah. No, I know it is. I used to go into Walmart, and I'd get headaches and backaches. But I don't get headaches or backaches. I mean, it's very rare that I ever get those things. So I knew it wasn't me.
Huh.
I was just picking them up from other people.
I can't. Yeah.
And then I figured out on my own how to get rid of them. You know. But
I can't stand those big box stores. They're so overwhelming. They're so visually cluttered.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just hard. They're hard. I don't go to them. I order online.
Right. There's probably going to be a generation of people that have never stepped in foot in Walmart.
Yeah, that'd be okay too.
But I like to. I'll tell you why I like to go to Walmart, because you can sometimes find incredible bargains.
Uh-huh.
And I'm into the intuition part where my guides show me where the bargains are, and you wouldn't believe some of the bargains you can find.
Yeah, what I do is I say, "Feet, take me where I need to go."
There you go.
And I end up in like that, finding the perfect thing. But
right.
And I don't want to pick on Walmart. They employ a lot of people.
There's lots of stores like Walmart. It's not just Walmart.
Yeah, exactly. But I live very rurally, so I don't have much available out here.
Right.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And I'm here for a reason, because I just don't do well.
You're probably outside the electromagnetic clutter.
Exactly.
Of the cities. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't even have a cell signal out here, which is fine.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're coming up on the end of the hour here. Would you like to give your contact information?
Thank you. And I'm really enjoying our conversation, by the way.
Thank you.
My main website is spiritlight.com. That's spiritlite.com. And the healing modality that we mentioned earlier is called Touching the Light. There's also a book out called Touching the Light that I wrote that gives you a lot of idea of what the program's about. It has its own website, and that's touchingthelight, LIGHT.org. And you can email me at drmeg@spiritlight.com.
And, you know, if the listeners have a child in their life, you know, be it their child or, you know, a acquaintance child or a grandchild, what advice would you give them at this point for how they can help these children?
First of all, stop seeing them as broken. They are not broken. They're differently abled. And that's a really important thing. When you see your child is broken, you lose hope for them. And you don't want to do that. What you want to do is foster the best they have. So perspective is everything. Second of all, stand up for them. They're your children, or they're in your care, whatever the case is. Stand up for them. Advocate for them. Make sure you're aware of what's going on, and make sure that you step in and ask questions. You have the right to ask questions. We come from generations before us where we were told something, that was that, and what I want to say to you is you have the inalienable right to speak up, to be counted, to ask questions, to say yes or no, and that's fine. And if anyone tells you different, then make more noise. Because the way we change the world is one person at a time, and we have nothing to sell. What we have is common sense. We have absolute scientific evidence. We have ongoing issues. And those can all be pointed to as a good basis for an argument of why you will or will not do whatever it is that's being required of you. So, and then lastly, listen to the children deeply. They really have a lot of neat stuff to tell you. And they'll come out with things that'll blow your mind if you let them. This isn't about religion. This isn't about spirituality. This is about human being, and that's where it all gets tangled up. And what I want to say is that each one of us has those very special harmonics. Those abilities are built into us. We had evolved away from it, and we're evolving back towards that again. And some of these children are front runners to that, and they're mind-blowingly amazing. Some are very affected because we unknowingly hurt them. Let's stop hurting them, and let's help them thrive, because they can change the world. They've got the moxie, and they've got the intelligence, and they've got hearts of gold and brilliant minds. And if we feed that instead of fear that, we will have a completely different outcome.
Well, thank you for that. I think the children are our future, and specifically these children. These children are much more light beings than
they are.
We are.
They are.
But we actually came in to set the stage for them to come in, so we're partially responsible for their being able to be here.
Yeah, that's why I call us the bridge generation. We're the ones that kind of open the doors and.
Yeah.
And I think my philosophy is weird is wonderful.
Yeah, right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Meg. I really appreciate it.
And back to you. I appreciate you as well. And to your listeners. You know, without you, I wouldn't have much to do, so I'm always grateful that you're there.
Great. Well, this is Dr. Susan Kolb. We've been interviewing Dr. Meg Losey on her book, The Children of Now, Evolution. And it's a great book. I really recommend people read it. Next week, let me just see what we've got on the schedule. We have Temple of Health Radio Show is interviewing Dr. Art Markman, Smart Change, 5 Tools to Create a New and Sustainable Habits in Yourself. And let's see, the week after that, we have Tapping into Wealth, How Emotional Freedom Techniques Can Help You Clear the Path to Making More Money. That's probably the first money-based book we've had on the Temple of Health show, but if you have more money, you can probably get better health care. This is Dr. Susan Kolb with Temple of Health Radio Show. Please join us next week.